Good morning. Happy Easter. Alleluia, alleluia. God's love never fails. We rejoice today in the light and love of the resurrection. From this day until Pentecost, our first readings will be drawn from the Acts of the Apostles, the book which offers insight into the formation of the early church and the thoughts and actions of the disciples after the resurrection. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are part of that unfolding mystery and that we will be welcoming Eleanor, Cole, and Nellie to church today. There will be two collections at the Mass today, and we ask you now to face the entrance to the church.
Thank you.
Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witnesses, and everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At daybreak, on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles. But their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down and saw the burial clothes alone. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. On behalf of Monsignor LaPinto, Father Bremerich, and of course myself, I wish to extend to all of you our prayers and best wishes before a most beautiful Easter and Easter season. We spent much time during Holy Week with the major players of the New Testament, Jesus most importantly, but also Peter and John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and even Barabbas and Judas. We do not hear about Paul, who comes on the scene later. Yet much of what we understand about this event, we owe to him. Jesus is the founder of Christianity, but Paul was the first one to realize that it was a new way of being human. He could not have had this profound and radical understanding without being a very traditional Pharisaical Jew, whose faith was not only in his head, but in his very bones. When he heard about the resurrection of the body, he, as a Jew, knew what it meant, why it was necessary, and indeed expected to experience it himself. The question was when. His basic concern, as all Pharisees, was justice. Most especially, how could God be considered just when the world was and is and always will be so unjust? They understood that the good are not visibly rewarded in this life, and so developed a belief that we would be reborn at the end of time, then the good would have their status revealed. Paul and the other Pharisees had a Godward perspective, and the primary reason for the resurrection of the body was not to be nice or even to be fair or loving, but that God's justice would be vindicated. He would be known as true to his word. Also, as a Jew, mere spirit was incomprehensible to him. We humans do not have a body, we are a body. Truly human existence means a bodily existence. We are all coming back with some form of physical body. When Paul heard about a group of fellow Jews who said there was a man named Jesus whose body had risen and been reborn, he was shocked, horrified, for this is literally the end of the world. We can see why he was so incensed that he persecuted the church. What could be a greater blasphemy? When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he needed to do a complete reappraisal of his every belief. So let us imagine him attending his first Eucharist. The format would have been very different from today's Mass, but would have been very familiar to him. And indeed, the prayers would seem quite familiar. The best way to understand the Eucharistic prayers of the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church is to attend Mass with an Orthodox Jew. A friend of mine, actually an aunt, decided she had to go to Mass sometime because, you know, I was like the favorite nephew, and she felt she really had to go. She had a wonderful wit. She was an English Jew, and could be very, very droll. And she said to me at the end of Mass, "That was very nice, William. But you realize you Catholics have just plagiarized our service," and went on to point out the key thing. The prayers were basically the same, but we throw in the items on sacrifice, and Jesus offering himself. And Paul, like my aunt, immediately understood that that Jesus thought of himself as offering himself as a sacrifice, and by this formed a new covenant, a new relationship between God and his people. This is not a contract. This is not an agreement for goods and services, and thus restricted, but indeed a sharing of life and love. It is open-ended. It is also not just between God and me or you, but his entire people. Paul would have known that because of this, not only did he have a new relationship with God, but he also, and that he could be called a new creation, but that he also had a new family. And with that came obligations and opportunities. Whatever heaven is, it will come as a surprise. But good Jew that he was until his dying breath, his efforts would also have been directed principally to this world, to the very here and now. Now, this would have been in Paul's mind. I hope that in some ways it is in yours and mine. But I pray that it does not just stay in our heads. It must travel. Paul traveled around most of the known world. But before this, new understanding needed to travel from his head to his heart, and indeed into his very bones. A most treacherous journey, which we all need to make. How do we know that we are on the right path? This is very simple to understand, but difficult to accomplish. We must make worshiping God and serving our neighbor the highest good in our lives. Now, this is a wise, general observation that happiness cannot be obtained by seeking it directly. It is a byproduct of obtaining a good. This is common to members of most faiths and indeed most humanists that I know. What Christians add to this is the special kind of happiness we experience. For my humanist friend, whose highest virtue and goal is justice, it is a sense that things are being put, or at least attempting to be put, in the correct place, that there truly is fairness and justice and the peace that human activity can bring. I commend him, but I do not follow him. We believe that our highest good is to worship God and serve our neighbor, and that for the Christian, happiness is joy. It is more than tranquility or satisfaction, because it does not depend on external circumstances, but only God. It is the one relationship that can never be severed. To love God and a neighbor is to live in conformity with the way the universe has been created and is sustained. Here and now, we can experience fullness beyond our comprehension, life bursting its seams, and this is joy. And to the parents and godparents of the children brought to the baptismal font today, this is what you have to offer them. This is your greatest gift. For this joy, they have been created. Accept no substitutes.
For Pope Francis, as he leads the church towards greater transparency, for a church that is of and for the poor, for increased opportunities for lay leaders who seek justice and equality, we pray. For those killed in the terrorist attacks in Sri Lanka, and for all who suffer for the Christian faith, we pray. For all who have not heard the good news, for those who have left the church or live on her margins, for seekers, we pray. For the sick of the parish, especially Brad Gentry and Reese Connor, we pray. For new life that springs forth, for faithful stewardship to protect the earth's beauty, majesty, and limited resources, we pray. For Janet Bertrand, on what would have been her birthday, remembered by Erin Gallagher, we pray. For the strength to die to ourselves and rise to new life this Easter season, for all who have died due to the violence in our society, we pray. For Cyrus Gentry, who was initiated at the Easter Vigil, and for Eleanor Cole Douglas and Nellie, who will be baptized at this Mass, we pray. For the petitions within our hearts, we pray. For Dolores Donato and Nick Adamo and all the faithful departed, we pray.
Christ have mercy. Christ have mercy.
Baptism is such an important sacrament that we have four other signs of great power.
united in our duty and our salvation, all at all times proclaim the Lord. But on this day, above all, the Lord be yet more glorious, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. For he is the true Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world. By dying, he destroyed our death, and by rising, restored our life. Therefore, overcome with pastoral joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers of the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Celebrating the most sacred day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in his flesh, and in communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious Ever Virgin Mary, Mother of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, and all the saints, we ask that through their merits and prayers, in all things we may be defended by your protection. Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this offering of our service, that of your whole family, order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation, and counted among the flock of those who have chosen. Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your whole family, which we make to you, also to those to whom you have been pleased to give the new birth of water and the Holy Spirit, granting the forgiveness of all their sin. Order our days in your peace, and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation, and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless and acknowledge and prove this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, for which will be given up. Thank you. gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
Thank you. We have a number of constituencies, however,